talk about things like this. Hallelujah. But we're going to be looking at it from a scriptural standpoint, from a scriptural perspective. We're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about money. Amen. Are we together? And we are going down memory lane. For example, tonight, I want to start with understanding the origin and the purpose of money. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We cannot talk about the purpose of money without looking at the origin. We just spent 1 month talking about purpose. Is that not so? And we said that when it comes to purpose, purpose is the original intent in the mind of the manufacturer. How many of us remember that? You're looking at me like you've seen ghosts. How many of us remember we said that? Purpose is the reason for which a thing was created. So we're going to begin with understanding why money came into existence. It was not created when God created the world. Are we together? So for our text, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. For our text, we'll be looking at Matthew 6, 24. Glory to God in the highest. So at least I have a couple of weeks to walk this, so I'm not in a hurry. We'll take a line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. So Matthew 6, 24, can we read together? 1, 2, go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and, some translations say, money. Okay? So we'll look at two other translations. But before we go on, I hope you see that the Bible calls Jesus, the Lord Jesus calls money a master. Hello? Jesus calls money what? It's very important. It's important for the foundation we want to lay. Are we together? Jesus said, you can't serve how, what? You can't serve what? One of those masters is who? God. The other master is who? Your voices are disappearing. Amen. So, money is a master. I'd like you to write that down somewhere. As we build on, as we go on in the course of this series, you'll come to understand why. Okay, so let's look at the Amplified Translation. The Amplified Translation. He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Amen. He said, you cannot what? And what? And then he tells us what mammon represents. Hello? Praise the Lord. Father, I'm sorry. Anoint my lips of clay. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Enable me to speak your word with simplicity and clarity in such a way that everyone under the sound of my voice will be able to comprehend. Holy Spirit, by myself, it will just be a lecture. But with you breathing upon it, it becomes inspired utterance. Utterance that is capable of changing people's lives. So help me to speak as your oracles. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And he tells us in bracket what mammon stands for. So can we look at those things? Can we read together? Money, possessions, fame, status, and whatever is valued. Hello? Hello? Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that understood? So let's look at Passion Translation quickly. Now, the Passion Translation gives us deeper insight. In the sense that the Passion Translation tells us that there is a spirit behind money. He surely calls it the God of money. Hello? So can we read together? Come on, read out. Mm-hmm. And be devout. Now, these words are key when it comes to understanding money. You can't worship what? While? So, money, mammon, is what? Or let's put, there is a God. There is a spirit behind money that seeks to enslave men. Are we together? Oh, it's like I'm busting your bubble too early. Because the way you've all gone cold on me. There's a spirit behind money that does what? Seeks to enslave men. How? Through the instrumentality of greed. Are we understood thus far? So we're going to put that on one corner. Okay? I need you to understand that. Amen. Because if you don't understand this, then you will not get God's perspective on money. Are we together? So money is a master. Money is driven or propelled by a spirit that seeks to do what? Enslave men. Through what? The instrumentality of greed. Is that understood? Okay. Now, it's commonly said when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The word abuse simply means abnormal use. Praise the Lord. When we talk about drug abuse, we're simply talking about using drugs wrongly. There is husband abuse, there is wife abuse, there is also pastoral abuse. Are we together? Amen. Anything you use contrary to its intended purpose is an abuse. Hello? Are you guys with me? Okay. Praise the Lord. So, we want to go down memory lane. We want to begin by going down memory lane to understand the true purpose of money. Amen. One of the considerations we must make first and foremost is that we need to gain an understanding as to how money came into being. What was the intentions behind it? Hello? So that we can better understand money's use. First of all, in general, before we bring it to a scriptural perspective. I hope I'm communicating. Praise the Lord. Now, I did quite some studies, some research. There are so many things that were said, I'm not going to bore you with some of them. Hello? For example, so one of the articles I read said that money, or the term or the use of money, began sometime around 3000 BC in Mesopotamia. Let's leave that one for now. Okay? So what I've tried to do is simplify it. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, the exact place where money was first used and the exact time are not particularly known. It's not very clear. There's a lot of, this one says, there's a lot of information as to that regard. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Because I saw some articles that said, oh, well, they were using it in this place, they were using that thing in this place. So let's leave all of that. His exact place and the exact time is not particularly known. Praise the Lord. I don't know who is making noise there, but he had better bind him or herself. Amen. But this I need you to understand. Hello? Hello? The reason for which money came into existence is this: to simplify trade and the exchange of goods and services. Am I communicating? Okay. Now, before the advent of a monetary system, trade or the exchange of goods and services was simply done by barter. Trade by barter, condemn. Barter simply means if I want something, I offer you something. Okay? So the barter system meant that the person who wanted a particular item went into direct exchange with the person he wanted it from. I hope I'm communicating. If I wanted, for example, a bag of rice, you have a bag of rice, I will come to you who has a bag of rice and I will give you what I have. It could be yam, it could be iron, it could be anything. So that's how trade was originally done. Not just in Africa, but all over the world. Praise the Lord. Now, that kind of trade has its hiccups, has its challenges. And what are the challenges? You could have what I want, but I don't have what you want. True or false? Now, to get the person that has what you want, he might not want what I have. So that kept posing a problem. So that kept posing a problem that led to the development of what? A unit of exchange that will make it easier to conduct trade. Praise the Lord. So instead of coming to you and say, okay, I will give you yam, you give me rice, and you say you don't want yam, they decided to have a value system that will say, okay, this thing is what XYZ. Now, I will say my yam is at this value of maybe WTI or whatever. So that particular item, if it meets the value of what I have to give, I take that item and use to get whatever I need. Are we together? Praise the Lord. In many places, it started with cowries. Then it moved to other items. So what we call money today, that's how it started. That's the origin of what? Of money. Amen. A unified exchange system or unit of exchange that made trade easy. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Is that understood? Hallelujah. So that unified exchange became a legal tender to acquire whatever goods and services. Praise the Lord. With time, it became silver coins. It became all kinds of things. Amen. Now, in today's terms, I'm going to read for you something I called out of Wikipedia. In today's terms, money is any item or verifiable record that is generally accepted as payments for goods and services and repayment of debts, such as taxes in a particular country or socio-economic context. I'll repeat that. In today's terms, money is any item or verifiable record that is generally accepted as payment for goods and services and repayment of debts, such as taxes in a particular country or socio-economic status. That's why today we can talk about Bitcoin. That's why today we can talk about electronic money, e-money. It's not physical, but it can be used to pay. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Have you understood that? Amen. Now this is where it gets more interesting. The word money is derived from the Latin word moneta, M-O-N-E-T-A. That means when they even started, it was not called money. I don't know whatever they called it, but eventually became money. So the word money comes from the Latin word moneta, okay? And what does moneta mean? It means coin. It means what? Coin, meaning coin. This Latin word is believed to originate from a temple of Juno, a Roman deity. Hello? Hello? You guys are sleeping up on me. Amen. I'll repeat that. This Latin word is believed to originate from a temple of Juno, a Roman deity, on Capitoline, one of Rome's seven hills. Amen. In the ancient world, Juno was often associated with money. The temple of Juno Moneta at Rome was the place where the mint of ancient Rome was located. Someone with me? Is someone with me? So, some things are already falling into place. Amen. The name Juno may have been derived from the Etruscan goddess Juno, and Moneta, either from the Latin word mone, which means remind, warn or instruct, or the Greek word moneres, meaning alone, unique. Now, the source of this, I said, is Wikipedia. Praise the Lord. So now we know what led to money being introduced, right? We know the purpose behind money, or what led to money. We know where the name or the term money comes from. Hello? Hello? Praise the Lord. We know the occasion. So we want to go to scripture. I've taken from contemporary knowledge. Okay? Praise the Lord. So you see, when Jesus said, you cannot love God and money, you cannot serve two masters, that scripture is not far from the truth. Talk to me. Okay, so let's go to scripture. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Today's foundation. Eh? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, I've said repeatedly, when you want to understand the purpose of a thing, what must you do? Sorry? You apply the principle of first mention. The principle of first mention simply says, wherever something is first of all said in the Bible, its purpose is there. Okay? So, the first reference, one of the first references or inferences to money in the Bible is in Genesis 13 verse 2. So can we go to Genesis 13 verse 2? Hallelujah. And it says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Silver and gold are monetary items, true or false? Praise the Lord. So the very first time that money is inferred to in scripture is in that text. Are we together? But it was not until Genesis 23 verses 11 and 12, or was it 13 and 14, sorry, that the term money is used. So let's go to Genesis chapter 23. Okay, let's just take it from verse 11. Now, Abraham was asking to be given a burial place to bury his dead when Sarah passed on. And he spoke to a certain man, Ephron. He wanted the cave of Makelpha. Praise the Lord. So go to verse, okay. So they were going back and forth. He said, use our grave. Use any of our choice burial sites. Now Abraham said, look, I want my own. Okay, so let's take it for verse 11. Now, my Lord, hear me. I give you the fields and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you, bury your dead. Verse 12. Then Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land. And he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if you will give it, please hear me, I will give you what? I will give you what? For the field, take it from me, and I will bury my dead. So that's the first time in the scriptures money is used as a terminology. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that understood? Okay. Now, let's look at God's definition of being rich. Because in Genesis 13 verse 2, the Bible says Abraham was what? I thought you're working with me. Abraham was what? Abraham was? Amen. This is where we're going to start from, to begin to see God's mindset. Now, for the majority of us, what is our translation about being rich? Having a lot of money. Is that not so? But look at what the Bible says. The Bible does not say that Abraham was rich because he had money. He said he was rich in it. Please keep it up. Keep it up. Don't lose me yet. Can we read? Abraham was very rich in. Yes. Does that mean he was rich because he had gold and silver? This is where your prayer that you prayed will begin to work. Hello? Did he say he was rich because he had plenty of money? Now hold on. In this context, the word rich means to have in abundance, to have plenty of a thing. Hello? Hello? Are you alive? Amen. So let me read it exactly as it is written. Ah, Father Lord. May God give us understanding. Hallelujah, my friend. You guys are looking stoned. That's why I asked you to pray that prayer. Amen. Okay. So, where did I write it? Okay, so in this context, being rich means existing plentiful in plentiful quantities. That's how the dictionary defines the word rich. Okay? Abundant. Praise the Lord. So Abraham was not rich because he had plenty of silver and gold. Abraham was what? Rich in silver and gold. Amen. So that already starts changing a lot of things. Hello? Well, let me not jump the gun. So let's look at Amplified Translation. Genesis 12 verse 3. Amplified. Can we read together? One to go. Read up. Now, Abraham was what? In. So, Abraham was rich in livestock before he became rich in gold and silver. Hello? He said he was rich in. And. So, which one came first? Are we together? So it seems to suggest that Abraham was rich in silver and gold because he was rich in livestock. I'm not asking to go and be a cattle rearer. But I need to establish some things first. Hallelujah. Are we communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in God's scale of preference, other things came before money, silver and gold, truffles. Okay. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? Abraham was rich, right? Very rich. Hello. Let's look at his son Isaac. Was Isaac rich? Oh, was Isaac rich? The man was so rich that an entire nation envied him. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 and 14. I'm going to show you some things that will shock you. Now, this is the interesting thing. In spite of how rich Isaac was, the Bible never quantified his wealth in monetary terms. In short, money was never attributed to Isaac. Let's go there. Then Isaac sowed in the land, in that land, and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Then Isaac sowed, son of man, the man. And until, now look at verse 14. For he had, and, yes, but not money was mentioned. Go back to verse 13. Give me Passion Translation. I hope we have it. You see, when you get the right perspective, then God can move. One of the things I discovered, when your believing is wrong, your thinking is wrong, and God can move. Okay? So let's read together verse 13, Passion Translation. But money is not mentioned. Hello. Should I shock you by saying you don't need money to be rich? That having a lot of money does not make you rich. But being rich will give you money. Because there are some of you here, you are wondering who will give you money. You are incapacitated because you don't have money. But if you don't have the right things, the right information, the right mindset, you will not have money still. Even if they give you central bank, you will still be broke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, walk with me. Praise the Lord. So, nobody defines, the Bible does not define Isaac's wealth in terms of what? Silver or gold. Amen. Amen. Now, you see, this thing took me considerable study. I actually started before Sunday. I spent the whole of yesterday digging through. There were certain things I began to tell myself, okay, money might not have been widespread. Abraham had money because the Bible tells us Abraham dwelt in Shechem. But Isaac here now is in Gerar. So possibly they were not using money in Gerar. No, I've done a lot of research. Praise the Lord. But listen, the Bible tells us that Abraham bequeathed everything he had to Isaac. Genesis 25, verse 5. All the silver, all the gold, all the livestock, all the servants. Isaac received as an inheritance. True or false? Give me Genesis 25, verse 5. What does it say? Did Abraham have silver and gold? Did Abraham have silver and gold? Yes. Lots of it. If you read that story in Genesis 23, he paid an overfair price. In short, Abraham paid for that land like what you call money misroad. 400 shekels of silver was well overpriced. They gave him a price to kind of discourage him for paying for it. The man just put it inside the pocket and gave them the money. So he transferred all this wealth to Isaac. But listen to me, when Isaac's wealth was being considered, silver and gold was not mentioned. That should tell us something. Physical money was not mentioned. Are we together? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church is quiet. Okay, let's go to Genesis 30, 43. Amen. Now, let me say this offhand. Amen. One of your goals as a child of God is to create generational wealth. See, let me say this ahead. If the reason you want money is to have what to spend for yourself, you will die broke. Your goals should be greater than us. Now, Isaac, Abraham was very rich. Isaac was extremely wealthy. Jacob was exceedingly wealthy. Hello. Now, at the time, we're going to read shortly. At the time it was said that Jacob was extremely wealthy, Jacob had not received a single penny as inheritance. Remember, he fled from home. Genesis 30, 43. Thus, the man, who is the man there? Jacob. Became what? Became what? And what? Yes. Yes. Hello. Is money mentioned? Is money mentioned? Don't you think the Bible is trying to tell us something? Hello? Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So nothing is said about Jacob being rich in silver and gold. Okay? I'm going to come back to show you that he also had money, silver and gold. But let's look at one other example, the man Job. Amen? The man. Now, Job is believed to be the first book written in the Bible. I'm sure some of you were shocked at that. Is believed to be the oldest book. But his time period is set in the patriarchal times. That means Job probably lived in the times of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Amen. Are we together? So Job lived about that time. Okay? Praise the Lord. So Job chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. Job 1 verse 1 to 3. I hope I'm reaching you. A mindset has to shift. Amen. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Verse 2. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Verse 3, also his possessions were, yes, amen, yes. All the people. Now, that's the region of Mesopotamia. Hello? Which means Job was probably richer than Abraham, Isaac, as well as Jacob. Because he was what? The greatest. Now, give me New Living Translation verse 3 quickly. He owned... He employed, yes. So we are talking about wealth. He was what? The richest person. Hello. You see, Job was even, for the case of Abraham and Isaac, they did not quantify. But Job, he was more astute as a businessman. So the question is, why does the Bible not quantify Job as the richest, in terms of monetary value? Or Isaac? Or Jacob? Are we together? We've already seen that Isaac had money, true of us, but his wealth was never accounted or equated in money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see whether Jacob had money. Okay? Did Jacob have money? Oh, he had a lot of it. Genesis chapter 42 verse 25. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts, you want God to move, your ways must align to his ways. So, then Joseph gave command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money in his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey, thus they did for them. Give me verse 35. So, they had money. They left Canaan to go to Egypt to buy grain with what? Money. They didn't go with cattle. They didn't go with livestock. They didn't go with servants. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 35. Then it happened as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle, not just money, what do they call it? Each man's bundle of money was in his sack, and when their father saw the bundles of money, he was what? Did Jacob have money? But his wealth was not counted in his physical cash. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go to chapter 43, verse 11 and 12. Are you guys with me at all? Principle of first mention. Is that not what we're doing? Okay. 43, verse 11. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present to the man. A little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Okay? Next verse. Take, amen, and take back. So by now they are going with triple money. Are you seeing it? Take what? And take back the one they returned. So peradventure that the money you gave is too small, I double it. Return the first one and then I double it. Increase inflation. But in spite of all of this, when the Bible was talking about Jacob being rich, did he mention money? Money doesn't make you rich. Amen. Are we together? Let's look at Oga Job, the richest man at that time. You know, I told you that at one point I said possibly the use of money was not widespread. So I started checking their individual locations. But by the time I began to pray, the Holy Spirit started opening my eyes. Okay, so Job 42 verse 11 and 12. Job 42 verse 11. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver. So money was in use. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a gold ring. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than in his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. Give me verse 11, Amplified Translation. So did Job use money? He obviously lost money. Now he was giving back money, praise the Lord, to the point now he was doing twice as much as he was doing before. Is that not so? Okay, so let's read verse 11, Amplified. Then all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him over all the distressing adversities that the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of money. So how come all these men, the Bible never equated their riches with money? The simple reason is having money does not make you rich in God's sight. Hello? Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Revelations says, you say you are rich, but you are poor. Money doesn't make you rich. Are we together? Some of you, your hearts are already breaking already. Don't break yet. Let's get a right perspective. Are we together? Genesis 24, 35. So God does not measure how rich you are by how much you have. I want you to know that. God never measures how rich you are. The world will tell you that you are rich because you have money. God will tell you that you have money, you are not rich. So again, when God tells you he's going to make you rich, you also need to understand that he's not necessarily talking of money. How much did he give Solomon? How much did God give Solomon? Did he give him a dime? Okay, so Genesis 25, 24, 34, 35, NLT. Break not your heart, please. And the Lord has blessed my master, and the Lord has greatly blessed my master. He has become a wealthy man. What makes a man wealthy? What makes a man wealthy? Blessings. Not money. So let's look at the order of sequence. The Lord has blessed my master, has greatly blessed my master. He has become a wealthy man. The Lord has given him flocks of and goats, herds, and which one came first? Which one came first? Huh? Very soon you understand why. Let me drop a bit of it. Hello? You can sell the sheep and goats to get money. So your primary objective should not be how much money you can get, but what you can get to always generate money. So God does not see you as being wealthy till you are a generator. It is the Lord that gives you what? The power or the ability to generate wealth. So you are in an office, they are paying you a fat salary. You think you are rich. No, you are poor. Are we together? Come on, walk with me now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, back to Genesis 26, 13. Wow, my time is gone. Back to Genesis 26, 13. Can I have 10 minutes? Just add 10 so I'm not hanging. Amen. The Bible says that Isaac began to prosper, continued prospering until what? Now, excuse me, I thought we just established that Isaac received a hefty inheritance from his father, Abraham. Talk to me. Not just monetary, but he had the cattle, he had the sheep, he had all those things, right? So why is the Bible saying that it is only at this time that the man began to prosper? Because that was the time he did something for himself that generates personal wealth. He had a lot of money in the bank, but he did not earn it. He could not replicate that success. So in God's sight, he began to prosper when he was able to generate his own wealth. So you get a fantastic job. To God be the glory. If they sack you tomorrow. I had the privilege of working in Shell many years back. I was in Shell Medical. And the pay was good. It was so good. Real good. Holy good. Amen. They will pay you. You know the interesting thing? They will pay you. You won't have reason to use your money. For example, Shell will pay you. Those days, I don't know about now. They won't employ you and your wife. So if you married somebody who was working in Shell, she will have to resign. But they will pay you enough. They will pay you double salary to cover. They won't employ you and your child. So they'll pay you like that. Hello? They won't employ two people to do one job. They'd rather pay you double. Then, in the morning, staff boss will pick you. Take you to work. So if you don't have a car, it's not a problem. For the senior staff, they had official cars. They will pick you to work. At the end of the day, they will take you back. The first day I was there, we had tea break at 11 a.m. We resume 7 a.m. We had tea break at 11 a.m. Trust me now, FOC. I started boboing everything inside. There is tea, there are biscuits, all kinds of. I started boboing everything inside. Somebody tapped me. He said, oh boy, cool down. You will not be able to eat lunch. He said, you will not be. Because as nobody is controlling you. When I got to the cafeteria for lunch, Lord have mercy, chicken divided into four. It's buffet. You eat as you want. So, you go there without breakfast. You have breakfast, you have lunch. By the time you are going home, you are probably not hungry. So, I now realize that you could earn money, eat once a day, and you see, by the time you finish that lunch, the food might not digest it the next day. So, what was happening is that when these guys were close to retirement, medical will be full. Hypertension. Because they cannot acclimatize. Are we together? They have worked in a fantastic system that gave them good money. Hello? But after that, what? So in God's eyes, they were not rich. And you know the interesting thing about those people? If you are an engineer, you are not permitted to open an engineering firm. You can do any other business. So in medical, you could not open. They will pay you well enough. So if you leave that job, what happens to you? So you see, the man began to prosper. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So a man is not prosperous or rich because he has money. He's prosperous and begun to become rich when he's able to generate his own income. Now, it was said about, what's his name? Joseph. That even while he was a slave in his master, the Egyptian's house, he was a prosperous man. But did he have money? Did he have money? He was a slave. What made him rich? He had the capacity to generate success. Amen. He had what? The capacity to generate success. The Bible says everything that he did was successful. Everything he did prospered. Are we together? So you're not having physical cash does not make you poor. On the other hand, you can have all the money in the world If you cannot generate success, you are a broke fellow. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, let me wrap it up. Amen. Amen. Are we together? So, what purpose does money serve? I'll tell you what I discovered. Every time, or let me put it this way, the only time it was called money was when transaction was involved. Hello? Abraham had silver and gold, was rich in silver and gold, but when he needed to enter into commerce, when he needed to transact, his silver and gold was called what? Money. True or false? Isaac, we did not see carry out any transactions. So nothing was said about money. But Jacob, when he needed to transact, money came out. So money serves a transactional value. I hope I'm communicating. Is it coming together? So do you see that the purpose we are seeing from the principle of first mention in scripture is not different from the reason it was created? So having a lot of money does not make you rich. It just gives you purchasing power. And how much do you really need? If long throat is not killing you. Hello? Hello? Some of you just like to gather money. You just be looking at your account balance. Yesterday you checked your account balance. Today you check it again. Money will always respect itself, will always fulfill its purpose. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, when money increases, the things that chop money will increase. Your appetite will increase, your long throat will increase. Why? Money serves one purpose: to buy things, to spend on things. That's the first job of money. And when you don't understand that, you become a slave to money. Why? Because you buy everything in sight. True or false? Money has a mind of its own. There are things you never liked till you had money. The same things you said, see them wasting money. There are things me, Mwah, said. If it is because of me, they open that shop, hunger go finish them. I don't buy them. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Is that understood? So let me round up this foundation like this. Hello. Every time money is involved, there's a transaction. Or let me put it on that way first. When you are spending this money, every time you are spending it is what? But if he's doing other things, it is not money. It's an asset. So, every time money is involved, a transaction is taking place. Something is being bought and something is being, what shall it profit if he, so the devil said to Jesus, bow down to me, worship me, submit your soul, and I'll give you all the money. Remember, we said money is a master that seeks to enslave men. When it was counted as wealth or assets, it was silver and gold. But when it came to transaction, it was money. That's why if you are looking for money to spend, you are in trouble. If the reason you want money is what you'll be spending, you are what? You will never be. But if you have other purposes attached to it, you are safe. Have I communicated at all? Are we clear on this? So we've just begun a journey. Amen. Was it good we had this understood? So let me leave you with this. Let money serve to produce assets, not to meet your expenditure. Can I tell you what I've discovered? Have you discovered that these so-called very rich men are also the biggest debtors? If they tell you how much money Dangote is owing, have you noticed he's the number one debtor? But what? He's the richest man. So how come he's the richest man when he's the greatest debtor? You see, when they say he's worth so billion, they are not checking what is in the bank account. They are checking his assets. Car is not an asset, though. It's a liability. It's what? Maximum. Dangote was asked a question. Do you have a house? I can't remember the country they asked him. He laughed. He said it doesn't, but his staff have. The people working for him have houses in the US, in the UK, and all these places. He said, if I was buying houses in all those places, they would not be working for me. The people they called rich had servants, people they employed. Let's rise up. Now, I can go on and on, but let me stop here. They had servants. His wealth was counted in livestock. Those are, in a manner of speaking, fixed assets that will always reproduce. Hello? The cattle, they will always born children. And it's what we keep multiplying. But the money, if we kept it in cash, he will spend it. Ask God to give you wisdom, financial wisdom. Ask God to help you put money in his right perspective. Ask God to give you a better understanding of the purpose money serves. We have seen both from contemporary history and from scripture that the purpose for which money was established was to procure goods and services. That is to say, you should not be spending money on any goods you don't need. And because money, its design, its desire, is to be spent, there will be always things that will draw your attention to spending. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you understanding. Ask Him to help you to curtail your greed. Ask God to help you to ensure that money does not master you, but rather you will master money. Ask God to help you not to fall prey to the victim to the God called money. I'm not hearing you pray. Ask God to help you that from today you want to start building generational wealth. Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, generational. Ask Him to help you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I want you to take a partner quickly. You're going to pray for your partner. This is important. I hope you've understood what I've tried to share with you. Two by two. I want you to pray for the person you are holding. And this is your prayer. Lord, help my brother or help my sister to realize, to understand that it's not having money that makes them rich, but the capacity to generate what you need. Hello? If I have all the money in the world and I have a need I cannot meet, I'm poor. But if I have the capacity to meet every need, I'm rich. I don't need 50 million in the bank to be rich. I just need to meet every need as it comes. So that those who think they don't have money, then they are poor. They won't take a step. But when you understand that it's the capacity to generate whatever you need that makes you rich, then there are many who are seated here who don't realize how rich they are. Because they have wisdom. They have skill. They have talent. They have understanding. They have ability. They have intelligence. So true wealth is not in what you have in your storehouse. True wealth is what you have as ability. So help me, Lord. Help my brother understand the concept of true wealth. Help my brother, help my sister understand that they are rich because they have potential. Help them understand that God is not measuring their wealth according to what they have in the bank. What God is concerned about is, do you have an ability? Come on, let's pray. Manto koli karabando go sombre hiketos koliante. Shimali karibondo so prenos kante. Manta kali koriante ilebron tolegedi. Please let me have Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Imakole koribando suprenos kante. Shimaligada gadoso perekente ligadai. Elianto supranos cante iketeli carabandos. Lebronto legedi, lebronto legedia. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. NIV, please, quickly, let's look at that. You will pray for yourself. Can we read? Want to go? So what do you need? Shekinah. Money doesn't make you rich. It's the ability to produce it. Hello? It is what? If you pray for nothing, next year that God will give you money, you won't see naira. But if you ask God to help you to discover your ability, you will get it. Hello? There are many of you, permit me to say, who should have been millionaires by now. But you are struggling. You know why? You are looking for a job. You are looking for what? So that they will pay you money. And you have ability. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Say, Father, show me the ability you have given me to generate wealth. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. Show me, Lord, the ability you've given me to generate wealth.
We thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the way it came. We're grateful for the simplicity of it. Lord, we trust you for the ability to move forward in this understanding. In the name of Jesus, thank you for changing our perspective. We will not go back to thinking the way we used to think. In the name of Jesus. And as you begin to show us, oh God, the abilities you have put on our inside, Father, we receive the grace to leverage them. In the name of Jesus. We'll be wealthy as you define wealthy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your Son through whom you minister to us, that we are asking for a fresh outpouring upon his life. We ask, oh God, for deeper insight and revelation in your word. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we please put our hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Amen. You sent your tithes to the bank in the course of the week. Please join me in front. You're watching online. Please join us to do that as well. Use the account number on the screen. I know media is going to put it up. Please use that. Send your tithes. If you don't have it in cash, package your offering as well. Have it ready, because we'll be taking that shortly. This is one of the steps you take in wisdom. Hallelujah. Please declare with me. Lift up your hands. Lift up your point of contact. And say with me, say, Father. Can I hear you say that? Say, Father, I have brought my tithe in accordance to your word into the storehouse. Bless me, Lord, as you have promised. With open heavens, blessings such that there would not be room enough to contain them. Give me barns that are filled to overflowing and vats that brim over. Everything that sponsors waste and destruction of my increase and prosperity, they are rebuked in the name of Jesus. Nothing is permitted to tamper with my wealth. My investments would not fail to yield increase. All nations will call me blessed. As we have declared, so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please drop your sides if you're still in your hand. Can you please rise up to your feet with your offering? Use the account number as well and send it to the bank if you don't have it in cash. But one thing you should not do is live here without putting your offering in the ground, because that is your seed. Amen. You're joining us in this service virtually. I encourage you to make sure you also send your offering to the bank. Now lift up your point of contact, lift up your offering if you have it in your hand, and declare with me. Say, Father, I have come to honor you with my offering. As part of my covenant obligation, I confess today that I love my King, and I have brought you an offering in demonstration of that love. It is an offering that is worthy of a King. I declare that because I fear the Lord, wealth and riches will always be in my house, and my righteousness shall endure forever. Because I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And because what I give, it costs me something, I will always enjoy a bountiful harvest. I now position myself in faith to receive that harvest of financial gifts and favors. I receive open doors. I receive opportunities for financial advancement. I receive monetary gifts in local currencies, in foreign currencies, and I declare by faith that my money is coming to me now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.